Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up everybody?
Today we have an awesome movie review of one of my personal favorite movies that I've seen in a long time. It's a Japanese foreign movie called 13 Assassins, made in 2010 and coming out to the States in 2011. I actually saw this in the theaters in Austin back of my UT days as a Longhorn, and it was awesome. I was so happy to go see it in the theater, and I convinced you guys to watch it with me, and that made me really happy.
Didn't take much convincing. That went pretty easy.
And we're here joined with two special guests, Diego and Victoria. What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Ooh, yeah. They're born for radio, these two. but I really enjoyed it. It's a samurai flick to the max. If you are a fan of samurai movies, I would say go and watch it. Great action movie. Sam, do you want to give them the rundown on plot and everything?
Yeah, sure. So the director is Takashi Miike, who you might recognize. He's kind of like a cult Japanese filmmaker. He's done stuff like Audition and Ichi the Killer. And
you've probably seen one if you've seen a Japanese movie, if you're a fan of Japanese movies.
Yeah. He's normally known for like ultra violence, and although I thought 13 Assassins did have a lot of violence, it wasn't like gory and gross and gratuitous the way Ichi and
it was very mainstream as he can get probably with his violence.
I thought the violence was tastefully done.
Yeah,
that
right.
Would be the
yeah, it was
I
all pretty. It was
I'd
all pretty
so.
Reasonable. Yeah. The arc of the story is pretty simple. I guess like the first 40 minutes, 35 minutes, just introduces all of the characters and like the one bad guy.
Basically they're establishing how evil this one bad guy can get in the first 35 minutes.
He's a bad dude.
He's really, really bad.
Really bad. But I thought it was, going back to Diego's point, I thought it was tastefully done. It was, you have some really freaky images in that first 30 minutes, and I warned them about it before we watched it. And did you guys think it was as gruesome, or did you think I was just hyping it when I talked about it?
I mean, I'm glad that you prepared us, but I don't think it was like awful. It was pretty gruesome. I was very convinced that this guy was a bad guy.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he looks like just like a spoiled jerk, snobby guy.
Yeah.
Who likes to dismember people.
Right. Diego, what did you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't seem as gruesome as Reservoir Dogs. I thought Reservoir Dogs was a more gruesome, visceral kind of movie.
I could take an ear chopping off than what happened to that one girl that they showed.
Yeah.
That really grossed me out in the theaters.
That was sad.
That was really sad. Well, yeah. And it's a very dark tone for the first 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's very serious.
You almost have to soldier through it to get to the fun stuff. But without the bad stuff.
Yeah, that's how they set up the bad guys. And it's
It's almost like two movies. It's like part one is kind of like a cerebral, kind of like a historic kind of thing that's informative.
There's a lot of strategery going
strategery.
On behind the scenes amongst samurai clans.
Yeah, and then part two is basically awesome kill fest.
Which is about an hour of pure action. Which if you think about it is an awesome feat in itself when you have an hour of action and you don't get tired of it.
Yeah, it definitely kind of mimics Seven Samurai.
Boom. Yeah, I think so.
Basically, they all the dudes get introduced, and then in the second half, they fortify a town, and then it's basically just a fight, a big, big, awesome battle.
Yeah.
Between these 13 assassins, who are mostly samurai.
Yeah.
One very special boy. One very special wood boy.
Yeah.
Who is my personal favorite.
I think he was your favorite. We had one more person here watching with us, and it was her favorite, too.
He seemed like the crowd favorite, because I guess he was the only one that wasn't the samurai. And
He was like a comic relief.
Yeah, and I'd say it's like that with the Seventh Samurai, too, and Toshiro Mifune is the guy who says, I'm a samurai, but really isn't.
Yeah.
He's one of those characters, and it's kind of like a classic arc. You know, I think a classic character you need in a samurai movie like
definitely
this.
Definitely, you have to have something to break up the kind of somber, serious tone that the samurai are, like, that's just their culture.
And there are a couple scenes in there that are actually funny, like the explosion scene.
Yeah, it was nice to see not just sword slashing. There was
swords crossing.
There was variety to the murder.
Right,
variety
of violence. Interesting tidbit, the bad guy in this movie is a really popular boy band member. Like the oldest active boy band in Japan, he is one of the members of them. It's called SMAP, which is like sports music. Association people or something, sports music active people.
It's typical.
A really
happy,
weird,
fun time.
Something like that.
Music video.
I wish they
time.
Told us that in the movie. I would have liked him even less.
Yeah, dude. And the thing is, you watch him. You can see him on. Turn on any Japanese television. He's doing an ad for Pepsi or like dancing around in an all white suit with a bunch of other guys like wearing pink and. Essentially, they're Backstreet Boys of Japan.
That
since
makes
the
me
1990s.
Like that makes me like him even more.
I don't think I could ever be a fan of that music group. He's yeah. just such a horrible character.
Right, right.
And he's a pretty bad dude. Yeah.
I'll show you guys a video after the podcast of these
you'll
guys.
You'll forget pretty quickly.
Band of Fruitcakes is what yeah. they are. Chick-fil-A will get them soon.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention the head. Okay, so you have a lot of faces to remember, right, guys? And I think, you know, it's kind of hard to distinguish between everybody because the film is kind of dark and it's a lot of night scenes at the beginning.
And so everyone has the same hairstyle, which can get a little confusing if you're not really
that's,
paying attention.
It's like if everyone was wearing a crew cut.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And this guy, the main good guy who kind of is the leader of the group of 13, I think his name is Koji Yakusho. And he's a really popular actor in Japan, too. He did a movie called Shall We Dance, that got remade in the States.
I love
oh, wait,
that
he's,
movie.
He's the...
No, he's the regular businessman in Shall We Dance. He's not the guy with the wig. He's not the cool guy with the wig. But
like
he's
the
main
guy.
Character.
Oh, he's the main character.
He's the
wow.
main character. And I love Shall We Dance. I've been watching that movie since I was in fourth grade on VHS.
I really like the guy with the wig.
We should watch that on Netflix. we'll make that a review. Did you see that movie, Victoria?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's just a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job playing. It's so weird to think that he was the regular old businessman who's having a midlife crisis. And then now, you know, 10, 15 years later, he's doing... How long ago was it?
Shall We Dance is 1996.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, you know, years later, he's playing this kind of like badass old man who's kind of... He's kind of like in semi-retirement as a samurai because right now they're in kind of a peaceful state. And they almost have like no mean. They can't fight anymore.
Yeah, definitely. It's they're all chilled out. And so whenever Koji Yakusho's character finds out about you know this evil, spoiled shogunate guy.
Yeah.
He's like really excited and happy actually because they get to fight again and that's kind of what they do.
Right. Right. Yeah. And actually, another tidbit about the same guy. He also did. He was also the gangster in the really famous Japanese movie Tanpopo, which if you haven't seen it, you should go and watch it right now. I'm going to coerce these guys into watching it with me eventually.
Okay.
But that was the 1986 movie solely about food.
I've been coerced already.
Right? If you like a Japanese food, it's awesome. So, we have a very memorable cast. A bunch of who's who. I've seen them all in a lot of dramas before, which is my summer pastime. At home.
Yeah.
And I think each one of them has enough unique character to them, some more depth than others.
Yeah.
Some of them were just there to fill out the
Well, yeah, because basically, yeah, because what happens, I mean, you get like a lot of story for Koji Yakusho's character, Shinzaemon Shimida. And so you learn about him. And then you learn about like one or two other characters. Like there's this like a kind of like a badass Ronin
Yukio
from Samurai Showdown.
Right. right.
You kind of learn about him. And then like at other parts, it's just like, oh, here's this important guy with five other dudes. Or here's this important guy with like his buddy.
But there's nobody you didn't care about. Even those five other guys that were introduced all at once.
Right.
At first I thought they were just going to be fodder for, you know, some good katana slashing.
Right, yeah.
But there was this one scene when they're told what the mission is.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
you can see it on their face. That, you know, they knew they were in for some shit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I instantly cared about these guys.
Right,
yeah.
More than the entirety of, what is it, Summer Hours?
Summer Hours.
Yeah,
what
a terrible movie.
That two-hour movie.
Don't watch it.
I care about these five guys because of one facial expression.
The house is the main character, though. You can't say
that. No, shut up.
That's going to be like the new thing is like we have to put harder in the podcast and talk about how shitty
Summer Hours
was.
Is.
Fuck Summer Hours.
That movie was hard.
God,
to
harder,
watch.
Harder to watch. and like what you said, you kind of, I think by the time some of them, by the time the battle rolls around, you'll recognize all of the different samurai. You might not know which one was which, but you'll see the face and you're like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, and especially when a couple of them start, you know, going down.
And dying and whatnot.
Going down on each other.
Yeah, going down on each other in the middle of the fight with all the swords.
We're watching different movies. I don't remember that scene.
Same
guys.
Movie, man. It's the same movie.
We're 13 ass.
Yeah. Whenever they start, you know, passing away, they kind of have like a moment usually with someone else who is kind of important to their own character. Like right. A lot of the buddies in the five that come in, or the Ronin and his little
pupil
apprentice,
which is probably one of the more fun dynamics to watch, especially when they go into battle, because it's kind of like it feels like them in the world, right?
Yeah,
because that's all they got with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes you it humanizes a lot of the 13 assassins a lot.
Yeah. I think for some people who aren't familiar with samurai movies, they might be a little turned off by the pacing, at least at the beginning.
Yeah, because it's very slow at the very beginning.
You get a couple smatterings of like sword fights, but not much to be like, wow, pumping full of action.
Yeah, it's more like it's a lot more like just kind of like a quiet
it's just
a history.
Drama. It's just building. I thought it was fine. It's just building.
I wouldn't
some
have
tension.
It any other way. Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. It works with the rest of the movie.
Establishing how bad.
I would never want to throw off that awesome. Was it an hour of action? Because it
oh
felt
my
like
God,
just a solid block.
It was an hour long battle.
Whoopery.
Yeah, it's so true. And especially when the battle kicks off and you're in it.
Yeah, yeah,
and you're
and
not
there's
gonna
fun
finish
traps.
Until the end.
Yeah, there's fun traps, and there's always like, yeah, there's something new around the corner up until the very end, I'd say.
Yeah. For sure. For the sake of time, maybe we'll start going around and doing our favorite scenes first, and then our low lights. We'll start off with Diego and go down the road.
Let's go, Diego.
My favorite scene is probably gonna be the very first, or I guess the second trap. There's a series of these kind of closing branch gate things that seem to slam down like prison cells as the army's invading.
Yeah, those are pretty awesome.
Those are awesome.
The little city, right? So they close the first one and the army's like, we're on to you now. We're just going to bail.
Right.
There's no bailing because then they seal them in.
Yeah.
And then you can see it on, I guess, I have no idea. There's said to be 200 guys there.
Yeah.
But those guys are fucked and they know it.
Right, exactly.
Because then they start seeing the samurai on the roofs around them.
Yeah.
Right.
Ready to rain down, you know, pointy sticks.
Yeah, and when they do, when the ones that are closer to the bridge do try to escape, they blow up the bridge like in Seven Samurai.
They're going
to
do a lot of stuff like that. I forgot to say favorite scene and then what you thought was the masterfully done in the movie, like what you liked about the movie in general. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be the action. That's a solid sequence of action.
It's very well done.
That's really hard to kind of find in other movies, you know, Boondock Saints has a lot of action, but that's split up. That's not the same thing.
Right.
You know, the only other movie that is even kind of a shitty movie, one of the Transformers movies, Michael Bay, just has shitloads of action, but that gets boring and repetitive. This was never repetitive. This was my favorite
That's
part.
True. That's true.
I would have said it's most similar to Kill Bill Volume 1 with the Crazy 88s at the end.
Oh, but yeah. That wasn't really long.
It's not as long.
It's like
that's
15, 20-minute fight?
Tops. Yeah. But I mean, like, the pacing of the fight is kind of like that.
Well, I like the length and impressiveness of it. It's girth.
Yeah,
the girth. It was big,
the girth. It was a meaty. It was
girthy.
A meaty battle.
It was hard.
Yeah. I saw. He loves sausage. He's a barbecue master. So we'll talk.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know the biggest sausage battle in the world.
Great.
Yeah. All right, Victoria.
Victoria, what do you?
I think my favorite part will have to be when the first door closes down at the beginning of that battle in the town.
Right when they spring the trap for the first time.
Yeah, because you know. I haven't watched very many samurai movies, so I'm not very familiar with it. So when they were going in, I was like, what are they going to have for them? Like, what are these 13 people going to possibly do against these 70 to 200 people that are coming for them? And so, like, when that first door slams down, I'm like, whoa, that's, like, super impressive. Like, I was super impressed. That was like that moment I was like, whoa, they actually have a shot.
Right. Yeah. And we're not giving anything away because there are like a million more traps that happen. And you guys can't even tell what the trap is really. So it'll be interesting when you see it for the first time.
Yeah.
So is that your favorite scene? That's your favorite scene. And what did you like in general about the movie?
In general, I think my favorite thing about the movie was the storytelling.
Right.
Because it's pretty impressive to do like, I don't know, 30 minutes to 45, maybe an hour of storytelling, and to get you so committed to the characters to where you're actually like rooting for them.
Right.
Even though you might not remember their names or like exactly who's who,
you know what they look like.
Yeah. You're still like super committed to all of them and want all of them to live.
Right.
In your defense, if you don't remember the names, they're really hard names to pronounce.
They're really
if
difficult.
You have no idea I just never had a grasp. I couldn't tell you a single one of their names.
It's like right the actors now. Had a hard time saying their own names.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. They just have a hard time saying their own names.
Right. Right.
That's like the hardest part of like their elementary school experience.
Yeah. Right. For sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the storytelling was super well done. I was very convinced about this guy's horrible evilness. And then
right.
really rooting for these guys, which I was actually kind of surprised by when mm-hmm. they were fighting. I was like, wow, like I actually really...
Yeah,
yeah, for yeah. sure.
You really do get emotionally
yeah,
involved.
Yeah, you definitely
it.
Care about all the characters.
And like, I guess
even the bad dude, because you really want him to lose.
Yeah. You really want him to die, right? Yeah, and that's a lot to be said because the movie was 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and definitely in a movie like Terminator or Transformers, mm-hmm. you're not that committed to the.
Yeah, you're just gonna characters. See who gets what happening to them.
I'm really concerned what happens to the Terminator. Yeah, hang on. That she does not speak for all of us.
How do you not care about Optimus Prime yeah. that oh, much?
Or the
or
liquid
Megatron.
Metal thing with the hook arms?
Don't right.
you want Megatron to always win? I guess that would prove my point better if I knew its name. The T-1000.
There we
yes.
go.
T-1000.
Dude, you did okay.
Just yeah. because they're robots doesn't mean they don't have feelings.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it's my turn. So, my favorite scene. Yeah. I'd have to say, I really do like it when they're riding out to actually get shit done.
Oh yeah.
In the rain.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
and
pretty
it's,
sweet.
And it's like the 13 of them, and it's finally. I think it's probably like 45-50 minutes in.
Yeah.
To when they're finally like, okay, let's go get the job done.
It was a good transition from all the story because you knew now it's
right.
time.
Exactly. And the battle scene, you guys cover the battle scene as far as great scenes. I'm going to say the trip from when they leave all the way to the village, including the spot where they want to cross over and they won't be let through a bridge for some reason that you guys will figure out in the movie. I really like the whole little bit because things are building up even faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big collision is going to happen sooner or later, right?
Yeah.
And as for my favorite part in general, I'd have to... It's a tough call between what these two have said. I'm going to go with the girth.
Oh, okay.
With Diego.
Okay.
Because it's literally like you're watching it, and it feels like it's 20 minutes. You don't give a
yeah,
shit that you're
like
watching an hour
long. Yeah, it
feels
long. Like a really short amount of time just because of how fast-paced and continuous
yeah.
the action flows.
And you want to know what they're going to do next. You want to see, well, what about this guy? What's happening with him? We haven't seen him in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right, how many more tricks are there up their sleeve?
Exactly. And when they start running out of tricks, everyone's waiting like, oh, God, we need a trick, right?
Yeah.
And things start... Oh my God! The girth is very impressive.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Very awesome. Girthy movie.
Ooh. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Molson comes to mind.
Great.
Right. That's it for me.
Yeah. Okay. So I think my favorite scene in the movie is probably this one scene kind of later on or toward the middle of the fight whenever the Ronin has like. It's the swords thing. Like they walk to this little patch in the fortress where there's like a bunch of swords on the ground and they're like this
and like
is stupid.
Flames around them.
Yeah, they're like this is stupid.
It's
why
just
are there
like
swords on the ground?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And they kind of walk forward and then the Ronin comes out with his apprentice and he's like, "I'm going to fuck you all up." And then he proceeds to fuck them all up and
in a very awesome way.
Yeah, the reason why the swords are there is so he could just like cut someone and then just not stop. Like he doesn't have to pull a sword
fucking
out.
One shot.
Never pull out.
Yeah. Yeah. Always keeping it in,
yeah.
right? Yeah. In general, my man, what were you thinking?
And in general, what I thought was really cool is basically how much Takashi Miike has kind of evolved as a director. Because like from watching things like Izo or like his older
Dead
movies.
Dead or Alive, Happiness of the Katakuris,
Visitor Q,
Ichi the Killer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's done a shit ton of movies and they're all been kind of really low budget pieces of shit until the last 5 or 6 years, I would say.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see how much he's changed since things like Tetsuo the Iron Man, where it looks really fucking bad and like is not shot well. Like he didn't know what he was really doing.
Yeah.
To now where like his directorial style and like the shots he chose to use really show how far he's come as a director. And like it's like quality.
It's an impressive
very quality.
Amount of growth.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't get off this.
Keep it going, man. Keep
this
it going.
This isn't going well.
But yeah, I'm just looking at the last 6 or 7 movies that he's done. I'm just going to give you guys the lowdown. He started out with Crow Zero, which is kind of like a school gang movie. And that has starred a lot of really popular young, fresh faces that a lot of kids liked. Then after that, he did Yatterman and Zebra Man. Both are like throwbacks to 1970s, like Power Ranger type characters.
Awesome.
That were like one-off miniseries that the kids really loved. And then he did Ninja Kids after two samurai movies. One is a remake of Harakiri and 13 Assassins.
Harakiri being basically my favorite samurai movie.
A great movie in itself. Yeah. Ninja Kids is totally for kids that are under the age of six. It's a cartoon series that have been going on since I was probably visiting Japan in the early 90s, and it's still continuing. So yeah, he's going more and more mainstream. It'll be interesting to see what he does next.
Yeah, but he's handling it really well.
Yeah, and you know, enough to say he still has a signature on
it. He's not trying to be
anyone else, really.
Like trying to get a lot of people in.
Right.
Like we said, the first like 30 to 45 minutes of the movie is like a very somber kind of like.
It's a dark 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's not trying to be Michael Bay.
No. But he does really do. And in this movie, there are just a couple instances when you know it's a Miike movie. Just because of like the 13th assassin kind of really quirky, and you'll see why towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Miike movie, but it definitely can go to the mainstream pretty well, I think.
I think so. I think that's right.
Yeah. Lowlights. This is going to be a hard section, but we'll start it with Diego.
Okay, yeah.
Lowlights.
I guess I came up with two. Been thinking about it all day, I got two.
He's got two.
Okay.
Yeah, right? I'm all impressed with myself.
I'm impressed with you, too.
All right, the first one, the 13th assassin. I don't know how much I'm going to get into because Andy is really guarding this plot secret.
Yeah.
But, you know, he something bad happens to him.
Okay.
And then it just kind of goes away afterwards in the most meaningless thing. I cared about him, and then it didn't matter. None of the fight was real for him, and I thought that was just kind of annoying.
That threw him off for, I think, you and Ecclesia too, right? Because it's like you cared about him, something bad happened to him, and then it didn't matter in the end. So then you guys are like, well, why the fuck did I care about him? Is that what happened?
I still cared about him. I thought it was a cool twist. Like, it's not something you would normally see awesome in a too. Movie.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it was definitely different. That's why I was like, well, why? Like, and...
Yeah.
I was like, why did it need no explanation in the movie? It was just something that you would understand if you'd seen one of his movies before.
Right, right. Yeah. It's one of those questions. If you've seen one of his movies before, there's a lot of times where you just shouldn't ask why.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. especially in Visitor Q.
Well, yeah, I can see what
Visitor
you're talking
about. Visitor Q, that's right.
Visitor Q, yeah. Jesus.
That's not the thing to ask questions
don't,
during.
Oh, yeah. God.
Don't watch that movie.
Don't watch Visitor Q.
Don't
but
watch
I could understand with Diego, though, because you see what happened. You see what transpired at the end of the movie. And there is no explanation. I was trying to figure it out until I read a New York Times review when it first came out.
Yeah.
And that the guy who reviewed it, A.O. Scott, one of the smartest mm-hmm. motherfuckers around, he had to do some research on it because
okay, nice.
So it's one of those things that didn't really translate.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely without Andy here, I don't think I'd have gotten it. And I would just been moody about it and it just kind of
I'm not even quite sure if that's like
mouth.
Yeah, it's just like and I only know like surface level like it's probably this, but it's probably what they really did mean by it, but I could see. So that was your first gripe.
The first one, right? I guess the second one was I thought the sword violence, not the violence in general, but the sword violence got a little repetitive. Because in some samurai movies, like Seven Samurai,
right?
You see a lot of variety in what they do with the katanas. Here it was really just kind of you get the high block and then you chop.
It was the hack and slash, right?
I mean, but it was just a 1-2, right? The guy attacks one of the assassins, the assassin blocks or parries, and then hits him back, and that's the end of the fight.
Which is the essence of sword fighting, but I can
see
what you're
saying. Well,
I mean,
usually I want to see some back and forth.
Oh, well, right. Which I guess, you know.
Go watch Star Wars.
I will watch Star Wars. Star Wars is
guys
awesome.
Hating.
I'm not saying Star Wars is bad. I'm just saying
no,
go watch Star Wars.
I can understand, and it's like we said, if we're going to talk about the girth of the movie, it was a long period, and it's almost all swords.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Hardly any guns. Well, there are guns at the
archery
beginning.
At the very beginning.
There aren't really
archery
any
at
guns.
The beginning. Yeah. Yeah.
One of them has a spear. That was neat.
He's
that
cool.
was throwing up. Yeah, yeah, for yeah, sure.
There's a couple bombs.
I always wish he had a guandao, though.
Oh, and that's and going, that talking about like Seven Samurai, like each one of those guys had a very unique weapon to themselves.
Which does make it easier to tell who's who.
Right. You can see, but I guess like they're like, fuck, are you going to have like the nunchucks with this number 13? We do have a slingshot in the mix.
Yeah. That's true, and a club.
Right.
And I understand why they had to go with the quick 1-2 sword fight, because these 13 guys got to kill 200 other guys. You don't have all day to be dicking around, you know, going the back and forth.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It took a while to find it, and it's a nitpicky gripe, but that's the one that came to mind.
You think between the gripe number one and gripe number two, gripe number one was the one that kind of detracted the most?
Yeah, that was definitely the one that was, I guess, detracted the most. That's the right way to say that. Yeah.
Right. Cool. Moving on to Miss Victoria.
I really can't think of one.
Wow.
Aside from... it being kind of confusing in the beginning. I feel like having you there, Andy, to explain a lot of this stuff was really helpful. Like, I don't think I would have gotten
the SparkNotes version. That's what I was.
A lot of the movie without having someone sitting there explaining some of the parts to me that I wasn't really sure.
Right.
But that's just user error. That's not like...
Well, it's tough. It's a cultural thing too, and it's they drop a lot of characters in really quickly, and you probably don't get who's who until after they've dropped their name five times and you've seen them three times.
Yeah, there's probably like a solid 20 important characters they drop in the very 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah, of the movie. And they're really big players in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but aside from that, like, I really liked all of the sword fighting and the slingshotting and arrows and stuff, because that's not something you normally see in action movies.
Oh, that's like, true. Yeah, yeah.
This was different.
Well, and also, like, towards the end of the movie, when their swords, everything just gets, like, with every hack and slash of the actual assassins when they're attacked, you kind of feel like you kind of cringe. You're like, ah, that's, you know,
one
more hit. Yeah, so I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
My nitpicky thing. I think it's fair to say that all of us are pretty nitpicky. There's hardly anything. It's like there's not really one big scathing thing.
Yeah, we really had to dig all. I had to dig all day to find. You had to what get pissed
deep.
Me off about.
Yeah, had to get real deep. In
get
that.
Deep in that girth. Right.
All up inside it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, fist deep.
Okay.
And he's making the weirdest face.
Oh, I'm
this
thinking
is so
about
good
it, man.
This is just a recording.
I'm digging. I'm digging right now. I'd have to say the worst part about it. For me, and I liked it. I'm coming at it from a different angle. I'm coming at it from Caricia's angle.
Yeah.
Which is a shout out to Caricia.
Shout out to Caricia. Woo!
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. The fact that the first 30, 45 minutes, this goes back to Victoria's thing. It's like you might not know what's going on. You might not know who's who. You just know something bad's going. And you get the main points, essentially. Like, this bad guy's really fucking bad, right? And a lot of people don't want him to be around. But at the same time, you might want to, you know, I was thinking about some scenes in old samurai movies where they'll have like a shot of like the major plague coming in. It's like a freeze frame. It's like so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
family
with the
member.
Title.
Yeah. Like if they threw up a couple more titles, maybe that would have been helpful.
Yeah.
Whenever they drop
the kind of
like
the hills.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. Samurai hills. I like that.
I like that too.
No, I would never watch that show.
Oh, I would if it's had the same, if it had the monkey man.
Brody,
in it.
Why did you stab me in the face?
Right. It's the crystals. Yeah. I'm thinking like the title thing, and there's parts in the movie where if you're listening to the names that are being called and you're watching the subtitles, the names being called on screen are first names, and the names on the
subtitles are
the last names.
Yeah.
So when one guy says one name, they'll do a subtitle for the other name, which threw me off a little bit. Because if you're actually trying to pay attention, you'll be like, wait, you just said someone's
name.
Yeah, because
every time
they're really confused.
Every time they're talking about Shin Zaimon, they're like, Shimida. And then.
Yeah.
So like,
I actually never noticed that.
Oh.
So now, I don't know.
That's okay. Well, it's like, okay, so just give you guys an example. The head Ronin guy, the badass swordsman, and his pupil.
You mean the only one with good hair?
Yeah, the only one with good hair, because he wasn't bald.
He's a Ronin, so he could do whatever he wants with
his hair. Pupil, he called the pupil by his first name in the movie, but on the subtitles, it's by the last name, which sounds totally different. So, you know, you might get a little confused with names in this movie. If you can soldier through the first 40 minutes of this movie, there's a huge payoff waiting for you right when you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, when the bad guy has been established and just been like, he's the motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's all the first 40 minutes of setting up. He's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say that he does a really good job being crazy.
Yeah, he does a great job.
And even towards the end, because I know Victoria was just like, I fucking hate this guy. Die.
Exactly.
He's such a baby, you know, stuff like that. So that's the minor nitpick. Props to the flow and the pacing of the movie again.
Totally. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
My nitpick is probably just the same. Like the first 40, 45, 30, 35 minutes is a little confusing if you're not familiar with samurai culture.
Right.
And
or culture of nobility.
Culture of nobility.
Yeah.
Rich,
there are
rich
people
entitled.
That can do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
Oh, no, she will. She
will.
Will.
She
will.
She won't.
I'll tell her to listen to Diego bash her. Yeah. Now that we have all the highlights and lowlights done, let's talk point scale and maybe a favorite character or favorite performance if you want to do that too.
Yeah. Go, Diego. Go.
Go,
okay,
Diego.
Wow, okay,
go.
I'm gonna go first. I know I'm the odd one. I'm going to give it a 7 because I enjoyed Boondock
Take
Saints
the mic
more.
Away from him.
Yeah. I
Take
enjoyed Boondock
the mic
Saints more. I just did.
You,
it was more accessible to me, and I just like guns.
Really? He well, okay, so what if these guys had guns instead of... Swords.
That would be a really terrible
movie. That's Assault on Precinct 13.
Oh, God. We're never watching that movie.
Oh, it's an awesome movie. We'll watch the new one. We'll watch the John Carpenter version.
That's
like
the one
that
we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
No.
Seven, really? I feel like he gave 13 Assassins a better review than he gave Boondock Saints.
Whatever. He likes guns. It's whatever.
If that's the sole reason why you're giving it a seven, you're giving it a seven because you ranked Boondock Saints a what?
I gave it a 7.5. And if I just think about it, which movie would I rather watch? Which one did I enjoy more? I enjoyed Boondock Saints more.
Wow.
Lame.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I could see that happening. You are a gun fan. Yeah. All right, Victoria, don't let me down.
Watch Equilibrium.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was coming in thinking I would give it an 8. But after thinking about it a little bit more, I think I want to give it an 8.5.
Woo! Yeah, now we're talking.
It was just really, and like, I'm okay without the guns. I'd rather not have the guns because it just seems like such a more awesome feat.
To have accomplished
killing 200 people with pretty much your bare hands.
Right, and it's like, and it's not, it's they use the town to their advantage.
Yeah.
And it's definitely more gritty. It's a gritty like experience watching them kind of go claw it out.
And yeah, and this movie really sucks you in. Like, you're you're in it.
Yeah, you're in deep.
You're very deep.
Yeah.
Like it hurt to say.
Yeah,
my only reason for picking Boondock Saints is not the guns. I just enjoy Boondock Saints more.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
I don't care.
Well, that's, you know, but I think Boondock Saints is definitely a different viewing experience.
Yeah,
I agree
it's apples to oranges, I guess.
Yeah, but as far as like popping in an action flick,
yeah,
you're
if I'm sitting around, you know, going to drink a beer and watch a movie. Boondock Saints beats 13 Assassins.
Interesting, because this is my like fifth time watching 13 Assassins.
And both lose to Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love that.
Suck it, Sam.
I don't know what that is.
You've never seen Brave
Little Toaster?
No.
How about Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars?
I don't
think
so.
No one's seen that.
I don't even think it came out on VHS. That was like a straight to TBS.
Straight to nothing.
Is this like a kid's?
Yeah,
no, I didn't do that.
Brave Little Toaster.
You were never a kid. Sam was never a kid.
I watched like Power Rangers. And like,
well, I watch Power Rangers too.
Is that
I
want to
be like oh, you watch Brave Little Toasters? I was watching Seven Samurai and Hatakiti.
Something like that.
I watched like Power Rangers. I don't know. I didn't have cable.
Kimberly
making me feel bad.
The
Kimberly
Pink
was
Ranger?
So
oh, yeah.
fucking hot.
Yeah.
What is Kimberly?
Shut up, man.
Pink
I don't
Ranger.
Even know how to talk
Are
to you right now. What's the matter?
Oh, you're talking about Power Rangers.
Oh, now,
goddamn it. What other Kimberlys do you know?
That's the only Kimberly
I
know.
Their name. There's just the pink one.
Oh my god.
And the blue one was smart.
And
just like Beast.
And the yellow one
in
is
X-Men.
And the yellow one is dead.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Great.
That's sad.
That's not my problem.
She literally, I think she drove off a cliff.
What? Okay.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. 13 Assassins. Here we go. All
right. Whoever's that was a little
laughing
detour.
At that. If you're laughing at that right now, you're all going to hell.
And you're going to also enjoy the first 40 minutes of 13 Assassins.
Exactly.
So good for you.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Okay. So you like that whole Boondock Saints thing better.
Yeah.
Give the mic back to Victoria, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think she's done talking.
Yeah.
Well, she said in too deep. We can't let her finish with that. Favorite character or performance?
Favorite character. I really like Tree Boy.
Tree Boy, Monkey Man.
He was awesome. And he also like kind of ragged on the samurai. Like,
yeah, it was
kind of
interesting. It was a little interesting in the sense that when he showed up, I mean, you know, he's going to be like a jokester, but he also kind of like calls the samurai out on all of their really bureaucratic kind of
their
bullshit
honor code.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool. I thought there were a lot of cool thematic elements going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Amongst characters, not just within the group and within specific people against the different parties.
Yeah.
You know, the rivals that they have.
Yeah.
There's a lot. The movie's pretty deep in that regard,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Deep, deep, deep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the word of the day. We should all do the Pee-wee Herman thing. Yeah. Where's the sofa chair? Just like, okay, so
he's mad because Andy's farts.
Yeah, I'm suffocating him slowly. Yeah. That is one face I would love to fart on. let's talk my rating.
Me, you, and everyone we know.
God. I'm gonna give it a 9. We're slowly building up from the low 7.
Yeah.
You give it a strong 7, right, Diego? Speak sweet things in my ear.
No. I don't know what a strong 7. It's a 7.
No. He's just giving it
a 7.
It's
a C.
I'm not gonna get it.
It's a C. Okay, she would give it at least like a
8.5.
Right. Which is a solid B plus.
No, it's a B.
It's a B plus.
It's a B plus.
I'm rounding it up.
It's a B.
It's a B plus.
It's definitely a B plus.
She says a B plus. It's a B plus. It's her rating, dude.
Yeah.
Get
Let
deep.
It go, man.
All
Let
right.
It go.
I said a 9. Favorite performance was, I'd say, the main old man in this movie, Shin Zaimon, because I think he does a really good job as being kind of like the stalwart, you know, kind of cool collective smarty pants of the group.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and he's a gambler. He gambled on it, and, you know.
He came out on top.
Yeah, yeah. And he was ready to take the challenge. He knew it was essentially a death mission.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, you guys will get to see what happened with it towards the end. But I thought he was just really good at what he did. And the scene where he pulls out the poster from the girl. It says everyone's Total Massacre.
Total Massacre.
I thought that was all. I was like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
It's anal reaming time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need some bags.
Yeah. Oh, God. God. Yeah, but I really enjoy it. I guess let's sum it up from us three, and then we'll go to Sam. Diego, would you say to rent it? What does a 7 mean to you?
Yeah, rent it. Rent it was a good watch.
You can watch
if
it
you
on Netflix.
Seen it, if you haven't seen it if you haven't seen it before, mm-hmm. pick it up. It's a good samurai movie.
Right, right, right.
Anybody that enjoys violence is going to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Victoria?
I actually think I'm going to buy it.
Oh, nice. But
I mean, if you're not very familiar with this type of film or mm-hmm. aren't sure about it at first, watch it on Netflix, go rent it.
Right.
Definitely. Like, I would definitely watch this movie.
Cool, cool, cool. I'm going to go with Victoria, and we're going to go out and buy it together. I'm going to buy my copy, too, right now. Mainly because the Netflix was crapping out on us, and everyone
looked
that was, like...
that was really annoying.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get on Blu-ray, because I've seen this 4 or 5 times, and I was still just as excited as I watched it. You guys were seeing me like being like a little schoolboy, all excited when the battle was about to begin.
Yeah.
You did giggle. That really threw off some of the pacing was the giggling. Because it's like the Pillsbury's Doughboy.
I'm getting tickled by myself. But
it was weird.
I would say, if you're a fan of any... If you want to watch a solid foreign movie, I'd go and find it right now. Watch it on Netflix if you have Netflix.
Yeah,
I'm
for sure.
Moving it on to Sam.
Yeah, I'm also going to give this movie a 9. Just because it's a really, really good movie. It's not my favorite samurai movie, but it's really good in the sense that it combines a lot of the elements of, you know, having to get to know a lot of different characters, making the audience kind of care about each of the characters, and then, like, how they proceed from that first part of the movie to mm-hmm. the second part of the movie where it's basically a kill fest, but it's not, like, mindless, like a Transformers movie or something, where like, oh no, buildings are getting blown up. Who fucking gives a shit?
Right.
They did blow up a building that nobody gave a shit about.
They cared about that. They had to buy it all out.
They rented it.
Transformers.
They
left
a deposit.
Transformers,
dude.
Transformers
they're never
ain't
getting that deposit
anything.
Back.
Nope. They're gonna get it back. Yeah. It's gonna be fine.
No. What?
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you return a burned out building? I got billed $100 for having a little spot on my floor. I don't know if I want to get any money back.
Of semen.
Jizz, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's
stop
okay. jizzing
and
on the floor.
Neither did they.
You can't just clean it up, can't you? You just have to leave
it
there.
He's
just watching Boondock Saints.
Yeah, just watching Boondock Saints jizzing all over the floor.
Exactly.
All over his PlayStation.
Yeah.
Gorgasm.
Yeah, man. So you just recommend watching it ASAP?
Yeah, I would definitely try to catch it on Netflix or
buy
it if you can. Yeah.
No. I'm just bringing up one last point though. Is like, when's the last time you guys have seen a contemporary samurai movie that was actually of this caliber? You know, the last time I've seen any really good samurai movie of this caliber was Zatoichi, which is back.
Yeah, Zatoichi is 2003.
Yeah, man, yeah. I was a youngster in high school when I went to go see that.
Yeah, Zatoichi was great too.
Yeah, so you know, back in the day, you had so many cool samurai movies, but as of late, you know, they're few and far between. So
Which one?
Kill Bill. You guys gonna call that a samurai movie?
I would say it's not really, just because
it's not Japanese,
and she's not a samurai.
Yeah, she's just sexy.
Yeah.
Driving that
Shinobi
wagon.
Shinobi was 2005.
Oh, you watched Shinobi? You like it okay?
No, I haven't seen it, but that's a contemporary one. That might be good.
Oh, yeah. It's not so bueno.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I guess I've seen a lot more than you guys have, but yeah. Take it from me, and later, Sam will watch Shinobi and agree with me, but I'd have to say that this is a really solid samurai flick.
Yeah, for sure.
Any last comments from you two wonderful guests?
No, it's a good movie.
Really good movie.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks.
Have a safe trip back to Cali.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We will miss you.
We will.
Miss you too.
All right.
All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate your questions, comments, suggestions you have. And thanks a lot for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Two boys, one flick.